Michigan's Upper Peninsula is my home and Escanaba is my hometown. I'm Craig Warple. Hometown Escanaba connects with the people, activities, and newsmakers of Escanaba and the UP. Join us for more interviews at hometownescanaba.com. Now, let's find out what's going on. Joining us this morning is Doug Gleisingring, superintendent of the Delta Schoolcraft Intermediate School District. Wow, did I get all that out?
Yeah, you're multi-syllabic today.
How do you
today,
put that
Craig?
On a card?
Huh? Yeah,
do you have to have two cards? Do you flip your card open to get all that name on there?
Well, we like titles and education. You know,
only thing worse than Delta Schoolcraft Intermediate School District is OSF Healthcare St. Francis Hospital and Medical Group.
Yeah.
I don't know how they put that on a sign either. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
No problem.
Not only is your name long and big, but you are expanding the facility as well. And last night, you were able to take a major step forward.
Yeah, last night, our school board approved the bid from Roy Ness Contracting and Sales here in Escanaba to put on our new welding lab and our office expansion. So we're really excited about that. It's going to go off the southwest corner of the building. We currently have an 11-station lab over at Escanaba High School that we use. We rent space from Esky High, and we'll be able to have our own space with a classroom and locker room for the kids. It'll be a 22-station lab with room for other pieces of equipment. And then also we're going to add about a dozen offices for our special education department.
When will construction start?
It could start as early as this May.
Or next week if the weather keeps up, right?
Yeah. But by the time everything gets going, we're still waiting on final approval from the Fire Bureau. And once that's done, then we'll move forward. And we were a couple weeks behind approving the bids, so that might back it up. But like I said, we should be no later than mid-May, and we'll be rolling.
You were hoping to have it done by the end of the year, the semester break.
Yeah, with the delay in approving the bids, a couple-week delay maybe delayed a little bit.
Okay.
But the original quote was to have it done by December 13th. So we're really excited about that. And so as long as all the equipment, you know, this modern age, we're in about, you know, lead time on equipment. As long as we can get all the equipment and all the mechanics that we need to run the shop, we'll be pretty excited to get that ball rolling and hopefully move into it next school year.
The southwest corner, is it going to be connected to the building, or is there going to be a walkway between the buildings?
No, they'll be connected. You know, there's a door. It's right by where the back, where you, when you walk and you park in our parking lot over by that the little baseball field, you'll see that we have our transformer there and our generators there and some electrical equipment. That's the area it's going to be put in, right there towards the track and then towards the parking lot a little bit.
But it'll be connected to the building.
They'll be connected to the building,
You won't know the difference when you're going from one
to the other. You'll just walk down. There will be a hallway there, but you'll walk down a hallway, and there'll be doors into the office area, and then there'll be another set of doors. There'll be another set of doors for to walk into the lab area.
You said offices and lab, the welding lab.
Yep.
So that's all going to be in the same building, right? You're not retrofitting the rest of the building to accommodate new stuff.
No, okay. We're going to redo the back entrance a little bit. The side entrance, I should say, the entrance that faces the west. And we'll redo that entrance a little bit because we'll still use as an entrance into the building. But then right off that entrance will be a door into the hallway to get to the classrooms, to get to the welding lab. But it's also going to be another area to get into the office complex.
The need for this, of course, is, you said, move the welding lab, but there's a bigger need, too, with all this office work.
When the original building was built in the 80s, you know, we probably had 50 fewer staff members than we had back then. And that was addressed in the 90s when they added the CTE, the current technical education offices, and a large conference room. And that was done over on the southeast corner of the building by Escanaba High School. And so we haven't had an expansion since then. So this is the right time to do it. We just keep hiring more and more people. They're funding special education at a level I never dreamed they would, and we're able to put that into more personnel. We've hired a lot of personnel to provide more service to the local school districts, and we need office space for them. And we're looking at some other areas to create more meeting space and more office space, but this is the first step of hopefully a couple other projects we're going to work on down the road.
If you're starting in May, will it impact what you're doing till the end of the school year in June?
No, just the only difference will be that they'll make a temporary exit there'll be a fire exit, a temporary one out the back door, so that hallway may be unavailable for the last month of school, that doorway that goes out to our west parking lot. So rather than walk out of the building to the west, you'll walk out of the building to the south, like by the track, and then you'll have to access our parking lot that way. or go out the front of the building and access our parking lot. So that'll be the only inconvenience we'll have for the month. None of the classrooms will be affected, so there'll be no change in education, no change in office space or classroom space. It'll just be staff that use the staff lot. We'll have to walk out of the back of the building to the front of the building to access that parking lot to the west.
This is your second construction project as superintendent?
We did a small one in the we retrofitted a lab for product design and development. Mm-hmm. We put a fabrication lab in there, and that was basically a classroom that we kind of split in half, and we put a fabrication lab on one
side. How do you feel about doing this big project?
Well, I feel pretty good about it because I think it's something we need. We've been kind of saving cash knowing this is something we've been wanting to do, and so we're going to be able to do it in a combination with money from our accounts. We're working through with the Kabasik Foundation. They are providing us with a generous donation towards the facility, and I can speak more to that next month. And then we're going to do some non-voting bonds for the rest of it. So we're pretty happy. We've been planning this for a while, and it brings all our programs in-house. And by adding that classroom for the welding kids, it's a better situation for them, but also frees up another space that, so as our CT department looks to the future and looks at the upcoming job markets and the job trends that are coming, we can consider, you know, what potential CTE class could we add in the future, you know, to try to match needs in our local job market.
Any ideas? Is anything floating out there that you need that you're not addressing?
Well, there's definitely an interest in criminal justice. There's interest in that. We're starting a small culinary program in a partnership with the Terrace Bay Hotel.
Wow, that would be cool.
Yeah, and that's going to be like one or two kids to get started, but eventually it could be more. But we want to start small and learn as we grow. So there's definitely an interest in
I would think that you'd have a lot of kids interested in that. Go to school to cook? Come on.
Yeah, well, but the issue is, you know, to build your own kitchen is pretty pricey, right? Yep. So we can do it in a partnership with someone like that, the Terrace, that's a great start for us.
You can use the kitchen at the marketplace. It's a commercial kitchen.
Oh, there you go. So there's all kinds of collaboration
ideas.
You
don't have to go that far then.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but there's you can go in a lot of different directions. It's just, you know, we're required to look at the upcoming, the hot jobs list and what are the primary job openings that they're forecasting in your community for the next 10 to 15 years. And you're supposed to try to design programs to meet those needs. So law enforcement's always on there. You see our criminal justice on there. Education actually has been popping up on that list. So that's why we've changed our early childhood program to more in the careers and education class. So we're doing more and more with that too. But so it's just going to be a matter of watching the markets and working with the local superintendents and trying to determine what the interest is and go from there.
You're bringing in your welding program from the high school.
Yep.
But the high school's success program, you're moving out. They're going to be moving to a new location, a building that they just purchased along North Lincoln Road. So where are they and how is that going to be reused? Where were they at?
That space is what used to be, what people have gone to the ISD years ago. They are in what was basically the old business cluster,
okay,
the old
I remember
business
that.
Center.
Yep.
And it's like two big classrooms with a huge storage closet and an office. But they're two big classrooms without a wall between. It's a huge space in our building. And one of the things that we're considering with that space is to there's a temporary wall between that space and another classroom. We're thinking about making that a permanent wall and also building some offices and another conference room in that area. So it's one of the things that we're considering. Again, adding more office space and more meeting space. But we need to get this project done first before we do something like that. And it also gives Escanaba time to get their new facility ready before they move out.
Okay.
So obviously, we look forward to getting the space back because we need to access it. But Escanaba's been a good partner, and if they're not ready to go in the fall, they still need to come back in the fall. That's fine, and we'll just work through it until their facility's ready and they move. And once they move, then we'll figure out what we're going to do with it.
Well, congratulations, and moving forward. I don't know how you sleep at night, but
well, my business manager, I got him a little torqued on. He goes, "You like to spend money." I'm like, "Well, I only spend money we can afford, but we need to put, you know, we're not a bank. ISDs aren't banks, you know, and, you know, if I was a local superintendent, I'd be stashed as much of my fund balance as I could because the times are good. When you get bad, you got to make cuts. But it's a little bit different for ISDs. We're funded a little bit differently, and we're really not supposed to have big fund balances. And so we've kind of built our fund balances up, but now it's time to invest it back into programs and kids and needs. And then and then have our fund balances at a better level as we're meeting the needs of our local schools.
Speaking of partnering, you've been working with this task force you put together called the Community Collaborative Task Force,
yep.
where you're working with other organizations.
Yeah, it used to be called the Mental Health Task Force, but we started finding out that this group was meeting and addressing other needs. And so we kind of called it the Community Collaboration Task Force, kind of rebranded it. We meet every 90 days. Matter of fact, I'm leaving here and going to our quarterly meeting at the ISD this morning. And basically, it's a bunch of different civic groups in town, educators, law enforcement, medical community, the legal community. They come together and we identify needs of the community and we create 90-day plans and then try to make progress every 90 days towards addressing that.
How many different groups?
There's 8 different plans in place okay. right now. Like the group I'm most active with is the Handle with Care Protocol, and that is a group that's designed. There's a system in Michigan where law enforcement, if there's a situation in the evening, a night, or on a weekend, or over break, where students are involved, or students are around a traumatic event, the school gets notified, you know, please handle Johnny with care tomorrow. We don't know what the issue is. We just know that you have a student who might need someone to put a little more attention in tomorrow, see what if they need any help with anything. So we're implementing that. There's another group working on parenting in a high-tech world, trying to create programming to educate parents on what some of the challenges your kids are facing with the technology and the access they have to things and what's out there. There's another group working on meeting the needs of Indigenous students. And so that's a group really focused on the needs of our local Native American students and how to help them be more successful in school and careers and that kind of thing. There's another group working on, I mean, there's a lot of them. There's another group working on suicide prevention and risk management. That's our Project Aware group. And they're working on what can we do to make staff more aware of the signs of suicide, what we can do to support kids who are having some issues, how to make really clean referral pathways so we can get people to the help they need right away. So there's local mental health providers in that group. Folks from the hospital are on that group. And so, when you think about that, there's a lot of different groups worried about suicide prevention right now. And so we're trying to get them to come together to do some of that work. So, that's some of the things that the group's working on. So people are always welcome to join the group. And we invite any community member to be a part of it. So
how do you do that?
You just got to you can call me at the ISD at, 786-9300. I'm extension 102. Or you can send me an email. That's also on the website, dsisd.net. But you just tell me you're interested. I'll send you the invite for the next meeting. We'll be done at noon today. It's about a 3-hour meeting when we meet once a quarter. We give updates in the plans. We put new goals in the plans, and we share what we're doing, and off we go. And what's interesting, Craig, is when we share the plans, sometimes a group runs into a snag, and like, we're having a hard time figuring this out. And then someone from another group says, I can help you with that. So there's a lot of overlap with someone. It's really neat to see how all the different groups work together. And sometimes there's people in the room that have assets other people don't realize they have.
How big are the plans? Are they difficult or are they easy to implement?
I mean, some of them are really, really big. Some of them are big long-term plans. Like one group's working on transitional housing out of jail, how to help people, reacclimate and, find a decent housing situation when they get out of jail. That's going to take a while. There's a lot of moving parts of that plan, Whereas the Handle with Care plan, we're pretty close to implementing. So it was a lot because there's already a current state system in place. So some of them, we had another group that was working on a Bay College wellness, more programming for wellness activities at Bay College. They got that plan done in a year and they have a whole wellness program in place now.
So is Bay College part of that?
Bay College, yes. Amy Reitinger from Bay College comes to our meetings.
Just curious how you implement these with other organizations.
Yeah, at one point there was 3 or 4 people from Bay College there, and there's other local agencies partnering with them, and they have a very robust student and staff wellness program that came out of the work of this task force.
Well, why does this work then, instead of just Bay College doing it on their own?
Because it was nice because you're in a room with other mental health professionals. You're in there with people from the hospital. You're in there with people who have implemented successful wellness programs. So rather than them trying to call a meeting at Bay and have all these people trying to recruit all these people to come to the meeting, they knew that coming to these meetings, all these people were already scheduled to come to our place, once a quarter, and they just knew it was a great opportunity. They just make sure they kept those quarterly meetings open, and it was kind of a built-in meeting where you knew those other people were going to be there. It saved them a lot of the logistics.
You're doing it at the conference room at the ISD?
We're in a large conference room at the ISD. Once in a while when the room gets big.
Well, it used to be big. Now it's the way you talk about it is kind of small.
Yeah, it's down to about 35, 40 people right now, but at one point we were about 60 or 70, And we met the casino a few times, met the Terrace Bay Hotel a few times. But now when the group's a little smaller, if we get back to that 60-70 range again, then we'll certainly, you know, go to another venue, a bigger venue, you know. But so we've been rebuilding the group back up slowly since COVID. COVID took some wind out of the sails. But to be honest with you, I'm so glad we did it before COVID, because a lot of the relationships we built in this work were really important when we were having weekly meetings with the health department and the hospital and what do we do and all those kind of things. So we've been trying to build a whole system to figure out how to communicate, and we already had it in place because of the task force.
Well, we'll let you go then. Get off to that good work.
Yeah,
right?
Our facilitator, Jody Farr, is waiting for me to show up and turn on the laptop. So,
Doug Leisingring is superintendent of the Delta Schoolcraft Intermediate School District. I appreciate your time with us. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you for listening. A special thanks to our sponsor, SwedishPimple.com. Check out all of the fishing lures made right here in the Upper Peninsula at SwedishPimple.com. You can continue to follow us at hometownescanaba.com. We connect with the people, activities, and newsmakers from Escanaba and Michigan's Upper Peninsula.